So one of the things I've enjoyed about this past year is visiting classrooms in the school. And I would visit third grade and sixth grade. And I would teach them about different things. And one of the times I was in those classrooms, I would ask, what makes mass, mass? Or I could try to get to the same point from a different direction by saying, what's the most important part of mass? And the third graders and the sixth graders would think about it, and they would propose different ideas. Usually one of the first things that's said is Holy Communion. And then I would say, no, Holy Communion is not what makes mass unique. It's not what makes it mass, because communion can be received outside of mass. Nursing homes, at people's own houses if they're sick, and that's not mass. Plus, we're only required to receive Holy Communion once a year, but under ordinary circumstances, we're supposed to be at mass every Sunday and Holy Day of Obligation. So, what then makes mass, mass? What's the most important part of the mass? So they would think about it some more and come up with different ideas like, well, we gather together, or we sing, we pray, the scriptures. It's like, well, all of those things we can do outside of mass. And so they would struggle a little bit more, and so I'd have mercy on them and give them a hint that someone special, someone unique, a certain particular kind of person needs to be there in order for it to be mass. And so one young lady raised her hand and with great confidence said, Jesus. And I thought to myself, well, that's true, but that's not what I meant. I mean, Jesus does have to be present for it to be mass, but Jesus can also be present under other circumstances. And I had someone else in mind. And then they would think about it, and I would very quickly try to head off other misunderstandings and say, not the Father and not the Holy Spirit. They're important, and they need to be a part of our celebration too, but that's not what I mean. And they would think about it, and eventually I would give another hint, and I would say, well, I'm one of these kinds of people. And then eventually they would say, priests. It's like, yes, a priest has to be present for it to be Mass, but he has to do something special at Mass. Because a priest can be present in other places, and it's not Mass. So he does something special at Mass. And eventually, we work our way to the consecration, the moment that the body and blood of Jesus takes the place of what once was bread and wine. That's what makes Mass unique. That's the most important part. That's where the sacrifice of Christ, made on the cross, is made present to us again, here and now, at the altar. Jesus Christ, truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. Today we're celebrating the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, also known as Corpus Christi. This celebration brings special attention to that reality that Jesus Christ is really present in the Eucharist, that it's no longer bread and wine, but really the God of the universe. In our gospel passage, we hear about Jesus instituting the Eucharist. We hear about the Last Supper, where he says those words, "This is my body, this is my blood." Jesus is God. He's the same God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And so if he says, "This is my body," then it's his body. If he says, "This is my blood," then it's his blood. He didn't say, this represents or this symbolizes. He said, it is. And so Jesus is telling us he's truly present. And we can know that he is present by faith and by hearing. When we hear Jesus through his priest say those same words that we heard in our gospel passage today, the words from the Last Supper, we know that it's no longer bread and wine, but instead his body and blood. That Jesus is fully, truly present. And he gives us his very self in the Eucharist out of love for all of us. When he ascended into heaven, he said he will be with us till the end of the age. And one of the ways that he does that is by making himself present substantially in the Eucharist. It still has the appearance of bread and wine, but it's no longer bread and wine. It's now Jesus Christ. When we celebrate our Mass, the different gestures that we do point to that. The priest genuflects after the consecration because it's no longer bread and wine, it's now God. And so he's going to reverence the Lord with a genuflection. We await his coming as we're kneeling during the consecration. We reverence Jesus who comes to us in the Eucharist. And this celebration of the Eucharist, this gift of himself, is part of the establishment of the new covenant, this new agreement that God makes with all of humanity. In our first reading, we heard about the old covenant, how Moses established this covenant between God and man. He took the blood of animals, he sprinkled it on the altar representing God, he sprinkled it on the people, so that through the sharing of blood, there is a communion, there is a new establishment, this agreement that the people become part of God's family, his chosen people. Well, God gives us a new covenant. He's given us a better deal. We're sharing a different kind of blood. Not the blood of an animal representing this communion with God, but the blood of God made man. The blood of Jesus Christ. Given to us at every Mass, at Holy Communion. Presented to us at the altar. So that through the sharing of blood, the blood of Christ, we have a share in the divine life of God. We become one with him. And by being filled with the life of God here on earth, we become more like Jesus. We become stronger to be able to resist temptations to sin. It becomes easier for us to love others the way that Jesus loved them. When we're filled with the life of Christ himself. And so we celebrate this feast of Corpus Christi. This solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, recognizing that he is truly present, coming to us. We hear it in sacred scripture, in our gospel passage today. We also hear it in scripture in John chapter 6. He says we must eat his flesh and drink his blood, or we will not have eternal life. Because we have to have a share in his life, the life of God made man. And so, through the Eucharist, we become one with Christ. We are united together as a community through Jesus. Through the sharing of his blood, we become a family connected to Christ, a community of believers sharing in that grace that he has to offer, that grace that allows us to reach that destination of heaven through that sharing of divine life that God gives us. And so we have this in sacred scripture, but we also have it in tradition. If we look at the early church fathers, the disciples of the apostles, and read their writings, what did they say about the Eucharist? How did they understand these scripture passages? Then we would see that they believed that the Eucharist is Jesus Christ, not a sign, not a symbol, actually Jesus himself. St. Irenaeus, St. Ignatius of Antioch, St. Justin the Martyr, they all write about these things. And they're the disciples of the disciples, or the disciples of the disciples of the disciples. But the closer we are to the source itself, to Jesus Christ, to the apostles, the more confidence we can have that they understood correctly, that they knew what was going on. And this is still the official teaching of the church today. We can see it in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. That Jesus Christ is really present in the Eucharist. Still, it can be hard for us to believe this. It can be a challenge. It can be difficult. Because it still looks like bread and looks like wine. But it's actually God, once consecrated. So Jesus, in his mercy, does something above and beyond these three ways of helping us to know and believe. In addition to scripture and tradition, and official teaching of the church, Jesus performs Eucharistic miracles. Once consecrated, in certain circumstances and situations, strange and amazing things happen. In fact, this feast of Corpus Christi was established in part because of a miracle at Bolsena, where a priest was doubting that Jesus really becomes present in the Eucharist. And after he consecrated the host, it bled human blood, which then dripped down his hands and fell onto the corporal in front of him. And he took that to Pope Urban IV. And that contributed to the decision of the Pope to establish this celebration. And St. Thomas Aquinas wrote hymns about the real presence of Jesus for this particular feast, to celebrate that Jesus, who loves us so much, who gave himself up on the cross, gives himself to us even today in the Eucharist, that he may be united with us, that he may still be with us. And so this is quite a blessing. We are extra blessed here at Ascension because while we're here, during this day, we have the International Vatican exhibit of Eucharistic miracles of the world. You've probably seen these posters on the doors for quite some time, where we can read about not only that miracle that I mentioned, but over 150 others. What a gift. What a blessing. God wants us to believe, and so he tries to help us in that belief through these miracles, through these extravagant and miraculous ways, helping us to understand that it is true. He really does give himself to us in the Eucharist. And so I invite all of you, after this Mass or sometime later today, while we still have the exhibit here, to go and visit the Eucharistic exhibit, Eucharistic Miracles of the World, in our gym. The entrance is through the MPR, the multipurpose room. I've only heard good things from people who have already seen it, amazed at so many miracles and such a variety of things that God has done to help us in our belief, to help us on our journey, so we can one day be with him forever in heaven. So let us take a moment to meditate on this great mystery, the reality of Christ giving himself to us in the Eucharist, as we prepare to encounter him in the most holy Eucharist.